God is so good. Isn't God good? Even when things are hard, even when we wonder sometimes, God, where are you? The reality is God is still good and God still shows up. And these lights on our Advent candles, I'm going to ask Lillian to come up and light the white one. We call it the Christ candle, and it sits there in the center of all the Advent candles. It sits there in the center of the candles that represent hope and peace and joy and love, because Christ is what it's all founded on. Without Christ, there isn't hope, there isn't peace, there isn't the joy, there isn't the love. It's all grounded on Christ. And so we light it today, representing that Christ has come, and Christ is good, and we have hope, and we have joy. And that's what Mary, Jesus' mother, knew. In Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, but I'm going to read a little bit before that. It's a story that's familiar to so many of us, right? It's a story of Christmas that's so familiar. But we lose the weight of it sometimes. And so Mary has been told by an angel that she is going to give birth to the Son of God. Not a little message, by the way, to receive. And she goes and she visits her cousin, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who is on the other end of the age spectrum. Mary was a young woman, and Elizabeth was an old woman. And Elizabeth had also been promised that she would have a child. She was well past the age of childbearing, but she had this miraculous child, and her son would be John the Baptist. And so Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, who's further along in her pregnancy than Mary is. And when she sees Mary, we're told that the child in her womb leapt for joy, recognizing who the child was that Mary was carrying. And right at the end of what Elizabeth is saying, Elizabeth, who's very much a prophet in Luke's gospel, she's speaking these truths about God, and she speaks this beatitude, this blessing over Mary. She says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And those words, blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And then Mary goes into something that traditionally gets called the Magnificat. It's really just, it's a Latin term that gets used for this poem, this poem of praise, this song that Mary sings. But before we go to that, Elizabeth said, blessed is she who believed. Mary wasn't just some unsuspecting victim in all of this. She wasn't some pawn that God used in all of this. It wasn't like the angel came down and said, hey, Mary, this is going to happen to you. It's going to be awful because you're not married and everybody's going to make all sorts of judgments about you. You're probably going to be shunned. And there you go. We're going to do it regardless of what you think. That's not what happened. The angel said, hey, God wants to do this thing. It's time for his Messiah to come. As Messiah is going to come in a way that nobody's expecting, as a baby born, one of the least of the tribes of Israel, tribe of Bethlehem, and you're invited to be his mom. And then Mary says, oh, okay. Can you imagine that? This angel shows up and she believes what the angel is saying. And not just as she say, oh, I'm so glad it's time for the Messiah. Everything around here under the Romans, it's really awful. It's really great that the Messiah is coming. And then she could have said, but I don't want to be his mom. Could you imagine? You're going to be the parent to the Messiah. A little bit of pressure, right? I think anybody who has a child knows that there's some pressure anyways to kind of raise a decent human being. But you have to raise the Savior of the world. And she says, okay. Somehow she knows that there's something bigger going on here than just her. Somehow she trusts God in all of this. And somehow she consents to join God in what he's doing, despite the cost to her. We don't often talk about the cost to Mary, but there was a cost for sure. And I was thinking about that, and I was wondering if we would do the same. If God showed up in your living room or in your bedroom and said, you know what, I'm about to do this extraordinary thing in the world, and I want you to be part of it, and it's going to cost you everything. Do you want to do it? What would we say? I think in theory, a lot of us would say, of course we would do it. Of course we would jump in. But if there's cost, if you're going to face the rejection of your family, of your friends, of your town, if you're going to be judged negatively, if assumptions are going to be made about you, if rumors are going to be spread about you because of doing this thing that God invites you to do, would we say yes? I don't know. Mary was extraordinary. That she said, yes, okay, I'll do this thing with you, God. And so Elizabeth sees that and says, blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed is this woman who went into God's mission with her eyes wide open, willing to do whatever God asked of her. And then Mary responds to this blessing with these words that we call the Magnificat, which is just the Latin for my soul magnifies the Lord, which is her first words. And so it's not a particularly deep title, but that's what it's become called over centuries of Christianity. And this is what Mary believed in these words. And starting at verse 46, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Just, he's looked with favor on me. All the cost. I'm going to be shunned. I'm going to be judged. Rumors are going to be spread about me. He has looked with favor on me, given me the opportunity to be part of this. Surely from now on, all the generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Somehow she takes this thing that has happened. She takes her pregnancy, and she doesn't see it as a burden to bear. She sees it as a blessing. She sees this thing that anybody of us would probably look at and go, this is a weight to carry. And instead, she sees it as a blessing. His mercy, and this is where she starts talking about who God is and who she knows God to be. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. These words are so full of so many truths about who God is. Her blessing, she's blessed by Elizabeth, and she in turn blesses the Lord by declaring these truths about who God is, these truths that she knows in the core of her being to be absolutely the character of God. And that's why she was able to say yes, because she knew who the God was who was asking this of her. If we don't know who this God is, if we think this is a God who might be selfish, who might not be truly good, who might not have our best interests at heart, who might not even love us, then we shouldn't say yes. We shouldn't say yes when that God asks us crazy things. If that's a God who's on the side of the oppressor, if that's a God who's on the side of those who don't share their resources, if that's the kind of God that we're looking at, then we shouldn't say yes when that God demands something of us, because it's not God. Mary knew who God was. Look at all of these words. Verse 50, his mercy. He's a God of mercy for those who fear him. He's shown strength with his arm. And how? She illustrates it. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of our hearts. He stands up for the lowly. He fills the hungry. He helps his servant in remembrance of his mercy. This is the God that Mary knew. This is the God that Luke, who wrote this gospel, knew. When we're going to be spending over the next months, we're going to spend a lot of time in Luke. And Luke is full of this God, This God who takes the lowly and lifts them up. This God who fills the hungry. This God who is a God of mercy. This God who is a God who takes the poor and says, you're my special ones. Who takes the least and says, you're the first in my kingdom. Who takes those who have no hope and fills them up with hope because his kingdom is a better place. This is a God who truly, truly loves the least. And Mary knew this God. We don't know how she knew this God. We don't know anything about her life before this. All of a sudden, she's just there. And God says, it's time for the Savior of the world to come. Do you want to be his mom? And she says, okay. How amazing. And you know, we don't often talk at Christmas, we don't talk a lot about Joseph. But Joseph too. An angel went to Joseph as well and said, okay, Mary, this woman who you're engaged to, who you haven't had sex with, who is pure, is going to have a child. And that child's going to be the Messiah of the world. And you're going to be the one to raise him. You're going to be his dad. Want to be it? You can walk away from Mary, set aside all the shame. You can walk away, or you can continue to be engaged to her, take her to be your wife, and be dad to the king of the world. And you know what Joseph says? Okay, these are extraordinary people. They get lost, I think, in all the nativity scenes and the songs and all of this, but these are extraordinary people. God says, I'm about to do the most incredible thing I've ever done in the world. Do you want to be part of it? And they say yes. That, I think, is the invitation for all of us at Christmas, because God is still doing things in our world. God is still doing incredible things in our world. God is doing things, not just here in Toronto, not just here in Canada. He's doing things in Nigeria and Kenya and Ghana and El Salvador and Guatemala and all over the place, in Jamaica and in Barbados and in the Philippines and in Trinidad. And where else do we have? In PEI. That's not another country, but PEI. God is doing all these incredible things, right? He's still doing them. And he's still saying to us, do you want to be in it with me? And then he says, but it's going to cost you. It is going to cost you. It never is a simple, easy thing just to join God and what God's doing. Oh, but look at Mary. The cost. She's pregnant at this point. The way the timing works, she probably... She stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. She probably stayed right up until John was born, and then she went home. By the time she got home, she was visibly pregnant. It wasn't that much longer before she was going to give birth. It was going to cost. But she doesn't, it's not like my soul magnifies the Lord. God, you made me do this really, really hard thing. I'm glad maybe you're in it with me, but this is really hard and I really hate it. And why did I say yes? That's not what she says. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, who has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. God is still at work in the world. God is still at work being the light in the world. When God made a promise long, long, long before Mary, he made a promise to a guy named Abraham, and he said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. That's the promise. That's the foundational promise that God made to the people of Israel. I am going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a light to all of the nations of the world. Israel didn't always say yes, and they weren't always happy about it. But Mary still held on to that. At the end, she says in verse 55, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Mary sees her yes way over here as being in line all the way back from when Abraham said yes. When God said, hey, Abraham, I'm going to pull you out from all the people. I'm going to give you descendants more numerous than the grains of sand on the beach, so that you can be a blessing to all the nations. And Abraham said yes. And all these generations later, Mary said yes as well. Not because she wanted to be blessed, but she wanted to be the blessing to the nations. This is the invitation when God says, hey, I'm doing this thing. Do you want to be part of it with me? We get to be part of God blessing the nations. We get to be like Mary, who says he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant, because whatever the cost, when we're in it with God, this is the truth. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. You know, when Luke wrote his gospel, it was a long time after all these events had happened. And what we're told is that he was a historian, he was a researcher. And to write Luke, and he also wrote Acts, to write them, he did a whole lot of research, and he wandered all over to meet the people who had known Jesus. And one of the people he probably met was Mary, went for a visit to Mary's church, met Mary, probably had a conversation. Can you imagine that conversation? All these years later, she's an old woman by now. And can you imagine her sitting down with Luke and saying, oh, let me tell you about that time the angel came. Let me tell you what was going on in my soul when God called, when God gave me that invitation. Let me tell you that all these years later, decades later, I still know that I was blessed by that invitation. Oh, my prayer for us is that we would also be blessed. Let me ask you, if you were to sing your own Magnificat, your own song praising God for who you know him to be, what would you say? What would you include? Mary included his mercy, his strength, that he lifts up the lowly, that he fills the hungry, that he helps. What would your Magnificat include as you journey with God, as you respond to God's call to join him in what he's doing in our world? Maybe over Christmas, take a few moments, think about that. Maybe jot some things down in a notebook. If you were writing your own Magnificat, praising God for who you have known him to be, what would you say?